many things I could preach on this morning, but I really took some time in prayer and reflection about what I could speak to you this morning. So if you take your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. Can you just give me a little bit of more monitor up here? That would be great. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26. Let's look at the word of the Lord. Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go down south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza, which is a desert." Then he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all of her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at that scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came into some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. And so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. Just for a few moments, I want to preach on the thought, there's water in your desert place. Amen. Would you say that with me this morning? There's water in your desert place. Say it again. There's water in your desert place. Father, we just come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us today. We already sense your presence. But I pray that you would open up our ears and our heart, that we would hear your word and understand your word. And your word would go forth in power and in boldness. We bind, rebuke, and bring to no effect every demonic force of the enemy. And we thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. There's water in your desert place. Millions of people have either read, they've seen, or they've heard about a place called the Sahara Desert. You know, what's interesting is that this place that is so widely known by millions of people around the world, it's interesting that the Sahara Desert does not have any apartment complexes. It doesn't have any resorts. It doesn't have any Century 21 signs. There are no golf courses. There's no vacation spots. And what will really throw me for a loop, there's not even a Chick-fil-A. And there's no Walmart there. It would probably be safe to assume this morning that your spouse and yourself did not discuss moving there as you drank your orange juice and you ate your toast this morning. That did not enter your mind. Why? Because the Sahara Desert is very, very hot. It would not satisfy your needs. It's colorless, it's lifeless, it's scorching, it's hot with no shade, You would scream for water. It would not satisfy you because it is very hot and dry. Well, my friends, there are lots of people today in churches in America that are in a spiritual desert place. They're not in a physical desert place, so to speak, but they are in a spiritual desert place. That desert place that they are in is colorless, it's lifeless. They're scorching for some sort of relief in their life, and there's no satisfaction on the inside of them. And this morning, as we look at our text found in Acts chapter 8, we are introduced to an Ethiopian man. And there are three things that I want to look at concerning this man this morning. As we journey through this narrative, I want to look at three particular things about this Ethiopian man that we just read about. The first thing that I want to look at is the man's position. The second thing I want to look at is the man's condition. And the third thing I want to look at is the man's transition. Say that with me, the man's position, the man's condition, and the man's transition. These are the things that we are going to look at very briefly this morning as we look at what the Spirit would say to us this morning. The first thing that we're going to look at is the man's position. I want you to look at verse number 27 of Acts chapter 8, the narrative that we just read. The scripture records to us that this is an Ethiopian man, but the Bible says in verse 27, this man has great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. The Bible says that he has charge over all of her treasury. So I want you to see what a noble seeker he is. He's a noble seeker. He is a man of high rank, and he's a man of high authority, but yet he is humble enough to go to worship. He had it all together, though it seemed. I mean, I would suggest that this man's position caused him to be in a position where he had power, he had servants, he had prestige, and he had wealth. Everybody knew who the Ethiopian man was. He was the man that rode in the nicest chariot. He was the man that had the nicest clothes. He lived in the nicest house, and he had the nicest neighborhood. He had it all together, though it seemed. But my friends, I want you to know today that power, possessions, and prestige will never satisfy you. Now, I need to say that loud and clear because sometimes Christians, we think that the more things we possess, the more titles that we have, the more that we will feel satisfied. But this text demonstrates to us that no matter how much power you have, no matter how much possessions you have or prestige you have, it will never satisfy you. I've heard lots of people say, man, if I have a better car, I'd be satisfied. If I had a better house, I'd be satisfied. If I had more money, I'd be satisfied. If I had nicer clothes, I'd be satisfied. If I was better looking or more talented, I'd be satisfied. If I could get this lifted up and tucked in, I know I'd be satisfied. If I had a better husband and a better wife, I'd be satisfied. But the problem is when you get it tucked up and tucked in, you're still not satisfied. When you drive a better car, you're still not satisfied. When you have a better house, you're still not satisfied. You see, because power and prestige and possessions will never satisfy you, because you cannot satisfy an internal longing with external things. Did you hear what I said this morning? You cannot satisfy internal longing with external things. There is only one thing that will satisfy you today, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nancy Harmon used to sing, I'm wrapped up, tied up, all tangled up in Jesus. Here is a man of great authority. The Bible says in verse 27, this Ethiopian man had charge over all of the treasury of the queen. This man is important. This man had high rank. This man is very, very important to the queen. His position was of high rank. Number two, I want you to see the man's condition. The man's condition. I want you to see how this man is a diligent seeker. Not only is he a noble seeker, but he's a diligent seeker. Pay attention to verse number 28. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 28, the Bible says, and he was returning, verse 27, the Bible says, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, arise, go down south along the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge over all of the treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Did you see what's happening here? The Bible says that this man, this Ethiopian man, this eunuch, the Bible says that he is leaving Ethiopia and he's traveling all the way to Jerusalem. Do you see what's happening here? You see the man's position. The man is very important. He has charge over all of the treasury of the queen. But yet his condition is very interesting. Here is a man that is very, very important, but he's leaving Ethiopia and he's traveling all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. Do you know that it is 750 miles one way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, one way? Here is a man, not only is this man important, not only is this man under the queen, he has a great position, but look at his condition. This man was hungry for God. He was willing to leave Ethiopia and go all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, which was 750 miles one way. So when you really think about it, you think, well, that's not a big deal. But when you think about when you're on a chariot going in the heat, in the desert, 750 miles one way, when you consider that it's a one-way trip in a chariot with no air conditioning, and then you got to go there and worship, and then you got to go all the way back home. Theologians have estimated that it probably took this man 30 days to travel from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, and he probably stayed in Jerusalem for probably a month. So 3 months out of the year, this man was traveling one way to Jerusalem, stayed a month, and then went back home. So it probably took this man at least a quarter of a year to go to Jerusalem to worship God through the desert, through the heat, and through the adverse conditions. What kind of condition did this man have? Well, this man had a heart for God. This man was hungry for God. It didn't matter how far he had to travel. It didn't matter how long it had to take. It didn't matter how adverse the conditions was or how hot it was. He was willing to travel all the way to Jerusalem just to worship God because his condition was he was hungry for God. He was longing for something to satisfy his soul. And he knew that the only thing that could satisfy his soul was to get to Jerusalem and to find God and to worship God. I pray today that that's what would happen in the hearts of men and women, that we would get hungry for God again. Oh, that we would yearn for the presence of God again. It didn't matter how long this man had to travel. He was willing to get to Jerusalem just to experience the presence of God. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I want God. The more I want God to wreck my life. The more I want God to invade my life. The more that I'm hungry and thirsty for God. I'm telling you, I'm not losing my fire. I am recharging my fire every year. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody in the building that says, God, I want you more than I want anything else? This man was a diligent seeker. Not only was he a diligent seeker, but the Bible says that as he traveled, he was a teachable seeker. Oh, hallelujah. You see, when you're really thirsty for God, you're not going to have a problem coming to church on Sunday morning. You're not going to have a problem coming if it's too hot or too cold. You're not even going to have a problem if you don't like somebody. You need to go to church with somebody you don't like because you can't grow unless you do. Sometimes you got to have sandpaper in your life. Can I hear an amen? If you went to church with everybody that thought like you and said the same things as you did and did the same things that you did, you would never grow. Sometimes you got to be a part of a family that is like sandpaper. Oh, hallelujah. But you know what? You got to have a heart for God. They're saying, I want to be a part of a community that I could grow in and that I can be all that I can be. And I am going to put my focus on him and him alone. You know what happened? This man was hungry. Not only was he a diligent seeker, he was a teachable seeker. Oh, do you know what the Bible says? I'm about to shout up in this Pentecostal church today. The Bible says in verse 31 that the Bible says that the Spirit said to Philip. Now, Philip is the preacher. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch is in the chariot. He's going through the desert, okay? He's going through the desert taking his time. Philip is the preacher, and the Holy Ghost comes upon Philip, and what does the Bible say? The Bible says, verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near, and basically the translation is, go near, run, and jump in the chariot. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that freaked me out, wouldn't it? I mean, so here is a preacher running beside the chariot, and the Spirit gets on Philip. He jumps in the chariot. So he jumps on the chariot, and the Bible says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet. You know, the Spirit, he ran. You know, when the Spirit of God gets on you, sometimes you just got to get the laziness out and just get running. Some of us have been hearing sermons every week, and we're still not doing anything. The gospel of Jesus Christ is believing you got to do something. So he runs, and he jumps on the chariot, and the Bible says, Philip said, he heard him reading the prophet. So here's a eunuch sitting in the chariot reading the prophet Isaiah on a scroll. And the Bible says, verse 30, do you understand what you are reading? The preacher said, hey, God, do you understand what you're reading? And the Bible says, verse 31, well, how can I unless somebody guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So what's happening here, there's a conversation. He said, well, I don't understand what I'm reading unless you want to help me. I need somebody to help me understand what I am reading. And the Bible says in verse number 32, and the place of the scripture he read was this, which was referring to Jesus. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet speak of this? Of him or some other man? And the Bible says, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at that place, he preached Jesus to the man. So the man is a teachable seeker. Not only was he a diligent seeker, not only did he go 750 miles one way, he's diligent, but he's also a teachable seeker because what did he have? Listen to this. The Ethiopian man had the book. He had the heart, but he still needed somebody to teach him. Did y'all just hear what I said? He had the book, he had the heart, but he still needed a mentor. And we got a bunch of Christians sitting up in church thinking, you know it all. Oh, my heart. God knows my heart. I read the Bible. Yeah, I don't need nobody to teach me. Listen, until you are teachable, you are never reachable. Until you have a teachable spirit, you are not reachable. Listen, newsflash, you don't know it all. Well, I've been in church 30 years. You still don't know it all. I don't need to go to class on Wednesday night. I heard it all my life. You still don't know it all. You can have the book, you can have the heart, but you still need somebody to get up on the chariot and say, I want to teach you. We got a lot of people that have an independent spirit in the church. You ever met somebody independent spirit? I'll do it my way. I ain't going to ask nobody to help me. It's so filled with pride. You know, we think it's something to celebrate, but it's really pride. Masking religion, you know. I don't need nobody help. I'm not going to ask no. I'm going to do it myself. But that's not the way of the gospel. The way of the gospel is humility. The way of the gospel is asking questions. The way of the gospel is not having an independent spirit, but having a spirit that says, I may have the book, I may have the heart, but I still need somebody to get in my chariot and help me understand. And you know what happens? This is what the Spirit spoke to me. The Ethiopian man had a breakthrough as he was on his way to Jerusalem. And sometimes breakthroughs don't happen at the church. Sometimes breakthroughs don't happen at the temple in Jerusalem. Sometimes breakthroughs happen as you journey along the way. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to realize that that is where the breakthrough happens. He gets up and he begins to preach Jesus to the man. So you see the man's position. You see the man's condition. He's hungry for God. Now you see the man's transition. What is happening here? The man's transition, verse number 37. You know, a transition is a passage from one place to another, or a change from one state or condition to another. And here is this man about ready to experience a transition in his life. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, what did the Ethiopian man? He was thirsty. So what did he do? He got out the right book and started reading about the right man, even though he didn't understand, and he got a right mentor. Boy, when you read the right book about the right man and have somebody to help you, that is a recipe for breakthrough. And the Bible says that Philip saw him, ran to the chariot and asked him, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch said, how can I unless somebody guides me? And I love what the verse says. Then Philip started right there and preached Jesus to the man. Do you know what will mend a broken heart? A sermon about Jesus. Do you know what will break the grip of depression off of people's life? Is a sermon about Jesus. Do you know what will cause peace to flow in adverse conditions? Is a sermon about Jesus. Do you know what will cause a man to drop a fifth of liquor and turn around on the bar stool? It is a sermon about Jesus. Do you know what will cause somebody to put down the Playboy book and the remote control and the newspaper and their phone? It is a sermon about Jesus. Right there, Philip preached Jesus unto the Ethiopian man, and the man says, what hindereth me to be baptized? Hallelujah. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then I'll baptize you. Woo, I'm about to shout up in this church. Are y'all hearing me? I said, y'all hearing me today? Right then, the Bible says that Philip said, if you just believe, you can be baptized. And the Bible says in verse number 38, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and he saw the eunuch no more, and he went his way rejoicing. He commanded the chariot to stand still, stopped the chariot, and he told him to get in the water, and he baptized him. And the Bible says, and when he come up out of the water, how many knows that baptism is total immersion? Come on, he come up out of the water. And when he come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. How many know that's about ready to happen any day? The Spirit of the Lord is going to catch us away, and the world will see us no longer anymore. The Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says that he is a believing seeker.
Not only is he a teachable seeker, not only is he a diligent seeker, but he's a believing seeker. Verse number 37, the Bible says, if you believe. He says, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse number 37, he confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. This is a confessing seeker. And the Bible says in verse 39, when he come up out of the water, he began to rejoice. This is a rejoicing seeker. Right here, you see a man having a transition in his life. Now, my friends, what's so interesting in this, that if you don't pay attention, if you don't pay attention to it, you'll miss it. I want you to look at verse number 26. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, said, arise and go down south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a what? So my question is how do you baptize somebody in the desert? You don't baptize somebody in the desert with enough water to come up out of the water. The promise is this, is that if you are hungry for God, if you are thirsty for God, there will come a transition in your life that God will put water in the dry places of your life. Hallelujah. Well, can somebody say amen? I said, God will cause water to come in the dry places of your life. So what is the transition from spiritual dissatisfaction to spiritual satisfaction? This man, this Ethiopian man, found something that the queen could never give him. He found something that his family could never give him. He was thirsty and hungry, and as he was on his way, because that's when miracles happen, as he was on his way, his soul found refreshment. There's water in your desert place. I said, there is water in your desert place. My friends, Jesus is that water in the desert place. He is the water that never runs dry. He is the well that never runs dry. Is there anybody in the building that's found the secret of life this morning? Is there anybody that's found the well of water this morning? Is there anybody that's found the well that never runs dry? Jesus is the water in the desert place. Jesus is a prophet likened to Moses. He's the priest likened to Aaron. He's the champion likened to Joshua. He's the offering likened to Isaac. He's the king likened to David. He's the wise counselor likened to Solomon. He's the beloved, rejected, exalted son like Joseph. He is my all in all. He is the ark of the covenant. He is the well that never runs dry. He is the sacrifice on the brazen altar. He is the mercy seat. He's the water from the rock. He's the brazen serpent lifted on high. He is the Passover lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the water that never runs dry. This story demonstrates to you and I that here is a man in the scriptures that talk about his position. He's very important. It talks about his condition. He was so dissatisfied with his life, he was willing to travel a quarter of a year just to find relief for the internal dissatisfaction of his life. And then you find his transition. If you believe, then I'll baptize you. My friends, that's your transition. Say, preacher, I don't know what to do anymore. Do you believe? I think I've lost all my hope. Do you believe? I don't know if it can be restored. Do you believe it can? I'm sick in my body. Do you believe you can be healed? My life is falling apart. Do you believe that God can restore it? The man said, what hindereth me to be baptized? that sentence from the preacher's mouth, if you believe. He said, I believe. And just then, there was a transition in his heart. You may not have the degrees. You may not have this or that in your life. You may feel like you're the lowest of the low. But your transition will come if you just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Oh, God, give us a believing heart again. Oh, I believe. I believe. Would you stand to your feet again? Amen. Could you give the Lord a shout of praise today? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. How many receives the word of God today? Oh, we receive it by faith. Amen. We receive it by faith. Amen. Worship team, would you come quickly? If you're in this building, you say, Pastor, I am in a spiritual desert place. My heart is cold. And in some aspects, I've walked away from the Lord, or I feel like my heart is cold. On the count of three, would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Come on, you say, I feel like I'm in a desert place. I feel like I'm cold. Nobody will embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. On the count of three, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. Raise your hand. All right. God bless all those hands in a desert place. Now, I don't want to embarrass you, and I'm not here to embarrass you, but I do want an act of faith. Just come and stand right in the front in the straight line. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to lay my hands on you. And if you believe, and by faith, you can have a transition in your life. Would you, on the count of three, just get out of your seat. One, two, three. Just come and stand. Amen. In a straight line. Come on, the rest of us, can we give God praise today for the people that's coming? Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah.